everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I'm... Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. I am so excited to welcome my colleague, Kat Samuel, today. She has wears a lot of different hats, man. She's a financial coach, she's a speaker, and above all, a homeschooling mom. Be still my heart. Kat helps her financial coaching clients review their lifestyle and learn money management from a Christian worldview. She loves helping people destroy debt, pay off their homes early, and learn to give more. While achieving your financial future may feel impossible or confusing, Kat guides her clients in creating a plan that sets them all up to win with money. Hey, Kat, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So let's touch on, before we get to your coaching practice, let's touch on the homeschooling. That is, I think that's the hardest job in the world.
Yeah. And many times I doubted whether I could do it. But actually, last year, 2021, my oldest graduated. So when she graduated high school, it was like a monument for me. It was like, I felt like I graduated from high school again.
That's amazing. So you've been homeschooling them since she was a baby.
Actually, no, I started homeschooling my oldest for middle school on. Yeah. So I started middle school with her, but then with my younger. So I have like a first generation children that are older and then a second generation. And so I have a 6-year old now and I'm teaching him to read for the first time. So that's another milestone.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Kindergarten is not all just finger painting, right?
No.
It can be very, it's the basis, the foundation for your learning for the rest of your life.
You're laying the foundation. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. I always said that was the hardest job in the world, you know, stay at home mom, homeschooling even more so, for sure. For sure. So let's get to your financial coaching and your speaking practices. Tell me about your coaching business and how you help people.
Yeah. So with my coaching, I work with young couples, young Christian couples, and I basically help them like create a roadmap from where they are with their current money situation and how to help them take that to the next level so that they can live out the gospel or the Great Commission. I really have an emphasis on focusing on giving those who have a heart to help others in different circumstances that are, you know, maybe less fortunate than where they are right now, or maybe they came from that place and they feel the heart to go back and help. So I really like to work with people who, you know, they're in a current place, but they're like, I want to be here and I want to give and I want to pour out. I want to, you know, experience this blessed life, but then also bless others as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is the ultimate goal, right? To be able to do whatever the heck you want with your money and then to be able to help other people in that same thread is just amazing. Tell me about your personal giving journey. Were you always a giver?
No. And it's so sad. I share this a lot. I'm open and honest. I am definitely more of a closed-fisted type of person. And honestly, it came from like the way I grew up. I was raised by my grandfather's sisters and my grandfather's aunt. And they grew up during the Great Depression. So I know how to wash and reuse Ziploc bags. Like... Yeah. You name it, I know how to pitch every penny about things. You know, I just learned those things from them. And actually, I never thought about giving to others because I'd almost had a mentality that I needed to be given to because, of the way that I grew up. And so I always kind of had that mentality. I never was open-handed. But my husband, on the other hand, is very open to giving. And he really opened my mind and just my perspective on that. Yeah. And he's a spontaneous giver. So he's like, I have to have like bags prepared and money prepared for him to give to people that he sees on the spot. No joke.
That is awesome. I had a girlfriend when I was living in California, she would drive around with water bottles and granola bars in her car. And if she saw somebody that needed them, she'd hand them out. And let me tell you, they were very well accepted. So
yeah, that's my car.
So what is his deal with him being this spot? Let me tell you, opposites attract, huh? You probably used to have like a heart attack when he would just like rip out a 20 and start throwing it at people.
Yes, all the time. And at first it was just like we would see people and sometimes, you know, you go to a situation, I don't know, like a function, and they're like, oh, this is an opportunity to give. And he's like, hey, I think we need to give $300. And I'm like, what? I didn't plan for that.
Pat's like looking at her budget like, I don't see $300 in here.
Yeah. And I'm like, where did you even get that number from? Like, he'll always have some huge like number in his head. And then he's also like a hands-on type of person too. So like, if we're out and about and we see someone, there's a need, it's like, we're jumping out of the car and helping them push the car, and we're giving them $20, taking the can, filling up the tank, like, that's right. It was definitely a culture shock for
wow. sure. Where did he get that from?
I don't know, but I know.
Who knows?
I know he loves people. He, okay. His whole life, he tells me stories of being a child, looking at people, watching, observing their behaviors, and he can definitely sense a need, even when someone doesn't express it. People have needs and their body is telling a story, and he knows how to read the story with giving through the body language. And so I think that perception has allowed him to have a compassionate heart in that area, you know? So a lot of my story that I tell is a part of his story because I've learned so much from him in that area. Yeah.
That's so interesting. That's amazing. So your specific coaching, you said you focus on young Christian couples. What do you find is the biggest challenge for young Christian couples these days? Culturally, socially, digitally, right? We were just kind of talking about social media before we got on here. Mm-hmm. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges for young Christian couples these days?
Distractions. And I feel like I say distractions, but then there's also these things that play into that, like the lost art of patience and self-discipline and just waiting on things, moving away from instant gratification. And so we always have so much media, so many things that are in front of us, vying for our attention, vying for our money and our time and our resources and our energy. And sometimes we see things and it distracts us from actually our value system, things that we actually hold dear to ourselves. And so when we see things and we start pouring our money into it, or maybe our time and our energy into those things, we have neglected who we are as a person. And if you're a natural giver, so say for instance, with my husband, for example, you know, he's a natural giver, right. But if he allows, like, he loves technology too, but if he allows technology and the newest gadget to keep his eye distracted, then that moves him away from his values of desiring to give to others because he's pouring his money into those things. And so that's what I feel like. I mean, when I say young couples, I kind of try to include myself in that. I'm still kind of young.
You're young.
Younger. A little bit young.
Hey, what is it like? 40 is the new 20, all right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I reached 40 this year, so.
Yay!
Yay! So I am the new 20 right now. There, but I like to include myself in a category because I do relate to my peers a lot, and that we just see things. And sometimes our hands go where our eyes are focused. And so That's one of our biggest problems. We have to refocus, come back and say, you know, what do I value? What legacy do I want to leave? What do I want my children to experience through the way I'm living my life and the way I'm spending my money?
Right. There's a quote that it gets attributed to different people, depending on who is, reusing the quote. I think it was Zig Ziglar, though, who famous for his sales tactics. Show me your checkbook and your calendar and I'll show you what's important to you. Yes. So you might sit there and say, funding for food banks is really important to me. Well, mm-hmm. Let's pull out your checkbook, which in today's world would be your online banking, right? Yes, we're not using checkbooks much anymore.
My app.
Right, app. Let me hand me your phone. Let me see your app and let me see how much you've donated to the food bank over the last month. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, you can sit there and say all day long that your heart is with the food banks, but you haven't donated since a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just because we say things doesn't mean our actions follow. So exactly. I think that's a huge teaching moment for these young couples, for your clients and for everybody. But especially to say, if this is what you're going to say that you're going to do, and you say that it's important to you, that it needs to be followed up with action. Speaking of which, tell me about this ministry that you work with. You're in North Carolina, is that correct?
I am, yes.
So tell me more about that.
Yeah, I work with the Raleigh Rescue Mission. So I have my coaching that, you know, I have with my my regular clients, but then I have an awesome partnership with the Raleigh Rescue Mission. And they are a ministry that helps those who have experienced homelessness. And it's like a transformational facility. They provide housing, job coaching, career placement, you name it, like from top to bottom. It's almost like everything you wished your high school counselor had provided for you, with information and things, they're there. And like, they just take them through various phases. And so I have the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to come alongside and help out with the budgeting and the financial, personal, money management classes. They have several classes that they teach in the classroom setting, but then also have an opportunity to meet with everyone one-on-one and to be able to dig into their personal numbers.
Right.
Because everyone's in the classroom, but
right.
I see my numbers. That's when it starts making sense. So
yeah. And not just because everyone there has experienced homelessness in one way or another doesn't mean that their situations are going to be different coming out of that. And is to hear that that mission is really succeeding. I unfortunately have experienced, again, having lived in Southern California for a little while specifically, homelessness is everywhere, right? But in Southern California and California in general, it's a major problem. I've experienced a lot of places asking for money that they just can't, they're not making that change that you're talking about that the Raleigh Rescue Mission is making.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in a lot of funding and it's going to the wrong places. And I used to support a project. It was called Alpha something. I can't think of it right now. But it was tied to a pizza parlor in downtown San Diego. And that was where it was for men. That was where these men would work. When they were transitioning out of homelessness, they would learn how to use a point of sale system, how to take orders over the phone, even how, you know, somebody had to make the pizza. They would learn how to make the pizza. They would have delivery drivers for the guys who had cars. And so it was this amazing, and these guys, they would be just funneling guys in and out. And because it was like, or really just out because they were so successful in providing the housing, like you said, and the support systems, and then showing them how to do it. And they would be out the door so quickly. You never saw the same guys there twice. It was great.
Yeah. And honestly, this is near and dear to my heart. And I mean, if I had known about this, our lives may have taken a different direction. But my husband and I both experienced homelessness back in 2014. And I mean, I've been able to openly share that with the Raleigh Rescue Mission and with some of my clients. But honestly, a lot of people haven't even heard all of that story as a part of our lives. But it was a crazy time. And it's almost like, you know, when someone experiences trauma in their life or you see someone that's in an abusive relationship, you're like, how could you stay there? And why would you allow this to happen to you? But it's a funny thing. Your mind kind of gets settled into that and you don't realize, hold on. You have to snap out of it almost like, I shouldn't be living life like this. And that's what happened. Like my husband and I were staying in extended stay hotels and it was my birthday one day. And I was just like, why are we here? Like, why are we in this place?
What are we doing? Right.
What are we doing here? Yeah. And from that point on is what led us to where I am today with coaching, because we went and we found a church and they were teaching Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And we were like, we can win with money. We can be successful. Yeah. I don't have to be in perpetual poverty for the rest of my life.
Right.
Yes, we can. And it's amazing. I mean, just in that period of time until now, I mean, we've been in our home for almost 4 years, but from being in that place in 2014, all the way up until the end of 2018, that's when we worked our way out of that place into where we are now. Like we own our home, we own our car. No one can tell me when it's time to get up.
And
No one dictates that anymore.
Yeah, that's such an amazing feeling. And that's really a huge takeaway from really what we try to do as coaches. We get our clients to a place where they have options, where they don't have to. I had a great meeting with clients last night where for the first couple of sessions, the husband was really hating his job. Mm-hmm. And certain things, such as taking out a 401k loan, have now tied them to this job. Because the second he leaves, just so anyone's listening, usually those loans come due within a 60-day period. So for about three sessions, we were talking about, okay, we need to stop our debt snowball. Do we need to focus on this particular debt? Because if we don't get rid of this 401k loan, the husband can't leave this job that's been so horrible over the last couple of years. And so that's that has not only put them, you know, you can say it's okay, now they're in a rock and a hard place, right? What it's done is it's removed those options. They no longer have an option when it he has a master's degree. He can make lots of money. He is making a good amount of money right now. He can make more money somewhere else and be less stressed out, right? And be less miserable. But this taking this loan has caused them, their options to shrink. So tell us a little bit. I know that for your, the name of the show is The Dumbest Thing I've Ever Done with Money. So tell us a few of those things that maybe that you and your husband had done that limited your options.
Yeah. So, I mean, I jumped the gun on that one, but it was what led us to that place of homelessness. And it was inconsistent work ethic, like you were talking about with that, you know, particular person in their work environment. Like, we would see that and say, oh, time to jump ship, you know. So moving from job to job, improper cash flow plans, like, I say that in a coachinese. I'm sounding like a financial coach when I say that.
Right.
Obviously, we were keeping up with the Joneses, the Williams, the Washingtons, you name it, is what we were trying to do. We lived in Charlotte, and Charlotte, North Carolina is beautiful. I shameless plug, anyone wants to visit Charlotte, North Carolina. It's, I feel like it's the most beautiful city. The air is beautiful. You can breathe deeply and then just enjoy yourself. But oh my goodness, are they full of distractions? Like I said, things that kept us from staying the course on what our goals and visions were for our life. And so, I mean, at one point we lived in a condo uptown, like rooftop with a pool. And it was just like we were living this lavish life. And from the top, we hit all the way down to the bottom because we were just trying to keep up with everything that we saw, everything that looked good for us. And we left, like, we had negative rental history. It was just a lot of things started piling on top of the next thing. And that's, I mean, I can't even say it was a dumb thing. It was a culmination of things.
Right. Yeah. It was, it's looking back, you can say it was all those little pieces over time. So how much of you use the coaching speak, right? Improper cash flow planning. So for the lay people out there, that's that means Kat did not have a good budget going.
No.
So what did you guys try? Because I know you said you found Dave Ramsey and the plan and all that kind of stuff after the fact. Did you guys know, like, instinctively, or like, were you like self-conscious about the fact that, like, something's wrong? Like, we're doing this wrong. Like, that's a lot of something I hear from clients who are like, we've heard of the word budget, but we didn't know what that meant. So, like, if you could go back in time and you could sit there next to that rooftop pool, which sounds lovely. I got a cousin going to college in North Carolina in the fall. Yeah. So I may be coming down there to visit.
You can enjoy a hotel with a rooftop pool. Fee and leave it alone.
Exactly. What would you say, looking back, that improper cash flow planning? Did you guys have that inkling like this isn't going to work or something's wrong, but we don't know what to do? What would you do differently if you could go back?
I would go back and understand myself and what my values were, things that I, you know, prioritize my life. That's one of the biggest things that I would have done. And that would have been reflected in my budget by not just paying the bills, because I was so eager to jump out and do the things that I saw that I would pay the bills kind of. And then whatever was left with the money, it was just like, it didn't align with who I was as a person or what my husband and I said we wanted our marriage and our family to look like. So it would be a lot of understanding me and kind of looking inside. That's probably one of the biggest things. Also, I would understand and take on the discipline of stewardship or management, realizing that every dollar that comes into my hand is a responsibility and not just something that you just throw to the wind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't have that concept. I did not grasp or understand that in even the most minuscule way.
Yeah. And I do believe that, and I've had this happen to clients before. I literally had a client, we were like, oh man, okay, how are we going to get out from this? They had done some work on the house and there was still a debt owed on it. And, you know, it's 0% interest, but it's, you know, the 0% interest is running out real quick.
Yeah.
And magically they found $2,000 in an account that they had completely forgotten about. And I'm telling you, I said to them, and these are not, I don't think they're both Christian. They're married, but I don't think they're both Christian. And I looked at them and I said, God rewards you when you start paying attention to his money.
Oh, yeah.
This was week three of their budget, and man, they were canceling stuff left and right. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen somebody cancel so many subscriptions. I was like, what were you doing with like 20 subscriptions in the first place? But that's a whole other story. But they canceled like 18 out of 20 of their subscriptions. They buckled down. They got this paid off. Okay, this money's sitting over here. Let's move this. They got their baby emergency fund set up. And then magically they find this $2,000 to pay off their debt. And it was just, I was like, that's what happens, guys. That's the good stuff that happens.
It's amazing. I like to picture it like this. It's like before I was, you know, taking care of my money how I wanted to. And it was almost like I was strong arming God. Like, you stay out of it. I can do this on my own. And then when I said, oh no, I need to take responsibility. This is a gift to be able to have this, and I need to manage it well. I need to plan and pour into my family, our future. And then others, like I said, going all the way to that giving place, it was like, I removed my hand and God was like, oh, now I can help you because you've been trying to block me this whole time.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I always use that metaphor of like, we think that we can close the closet door and God won't go into that closet. But it's like, no, he's in that closet. He's sitting in there waiting for you to open the damn door.
Yeah, he's in there.
That is awesome, Kat. You guys are absolutely inspirational. I love the idea of thinking of you and your husband driving around, your husband just pulling the car over and start handing money to people or helping somebody on the side of the road.
Yes. Going from the car we used to live in to being able to bless people out of that same car is awesome.
My gosh. I love that so much. You guys are amazing. Well, you guys can look at the show notes and you can reach out to Kat on there. I know that she she's doing some amazing work with her clients, amazing work with Raleigh Rescue Mission. So make sure you give her a follow. And Kat, I appreciate you sharing your financial blunders with us. And everybody can join us next week. Oh, I saw a couple people sign in a little late. So check out the replay on the YouTube channel and join us next week for another episode of Lessons Learned, the Dumbest Thing I've Ever Done with Money. Thank you so much, Kat.
Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.